This is Access All Areas on FUBAR Radio with Bobby Norris.
Good evening, guys. Yes, Bobby is back. Oh, I missed it last week, but I heard it was an amazing show. But talking of amazing shows, tonight is going to be an absolute belter. Welcome to Access All Areas. As you know, we are live on FUBAR Radio. I'm Bobby Norris.
And I'm Ellen Collin.
How are you, darling?
I'm great. It's weird seeing you back in the hosting seat. I can relax.
In my throne.
Yeah,
how did you find it? I heard you've done very, very well.
Thank you. Yeah, besides the trains messing up my intro slot, the rest of it went swimmingly. I enjoyed it. But we missed you, Bobby.
Oh, thank you. It's so nice to be back. But I hear you was in safe hands. You and Olivia, it was a fab show. So anyway, the B is back. And as I said, we are in for an absolute cracking show. And I'm joined by Celebs Goes Dating's Dr. Tara. We've just had the celeb this series announced. So looking to get a little bit of tea there. I think they've probably pre-recorded some. I remember when I did the show that you filmed quite a bit in advance. So I'm gonna nudge the doctor for a bit of tea. We'll see what we get out of that. And then we've got Kyle from The Circle. So it's a reality spesh. Mm-hmm. And as you know, we always start Access with showbiz gossip because me and Ellen live and breathe it.
Yes.
So we've got the lovely Stella here. How are you doing, Stella?
I'm good. Always happy to be back.
Happy
to be with you guys.
I love you. So, Stella, it's been a funny week, showbiz-wise.
Yeah, definitely been a bit of a dry one. So, but there have been things happening, and it's gone kind of like international. So we're starting with Cannes Film Festival, which is happening at the moment. Mm. And all the fashion has been giving. I'm just going to start by that.
Yes.
The looks have been like incredible.
I couldn't go because I said, I've missed 1 week of Access, so I've got to get back into my chair. So yeah. I've turned down Cairns this year.
Priorities. Yeah. I love it. And Kelly Rowland, she always slays. Yeah. Whatever she wears, she always
slays.
Doesn't
she? Mm.
But there was a moment, and it went viral overnight, where it seemed like a female security guard was kind of like hurrying her up the steps, and she just wasn't having it. She
I
was
saw
like,
the clip.
Yeah.
She was like barking at her.
Yeah.
I really want to know what she was saying.
Yeah. So my thing on TikTok now is like, there's professional lip readers that go in on the situation, and it just seems like she's saying, don't talk to me like that, I'm not a child. And everyone has said the same thing. So it's like, and everyone's done a comparison of other female celebrities who are able to take their pictures on the carpet with no like interruption, and it's panning to her where it seems like she's being kind of like rushed up the stairs. And she's got a weird lot of names thrown at her, like diva, doing too much. And it's just like, well, hold on a minute. Mm. Everyone's there for the same thing. Everyone wants to kind of have their moment, and
then
they'll go.
They want to get the press off the back of it.
Of course.
Let's be real.
Yeah.
Do you think she was pissed off then? She looked haggard.
She did. Mm. Yeah, yeah. It was very much a very like kind of South London with the dagger fingers. Like she had it. Like
I wouldn't go for it. I'm like, do what you want.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
But it's all what you know, isn't it? Like my family are like East End. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So that to me is just someone going to Greg's.
Like, exactly.
Things
yeah.
like that. It's all what you're used to, isn't it? It's all relative.
But you'd think the security would be like a bit calmer with the celebrities, like a bit nicer. But maybe she was on her high horse. Do you know the way sometimes you get these security guards and they do think that they are the shit?
Yeah, they think they're like, police.
Yeah.
But there's that kind of fine line. And I don't know the ins and outs about Kelly and this security guard, obviously. But I think sometimes, whether it's security or not, or even people on doors and red carpets, they're kind of told to just treat people like, don't acknowledge who they are, what they are, just go with it. So she might have, and again, I don't know this personally, but sometimes they're so worried about looking like they're fangirling over people that they almost go over the top.
Exactly,
to go, oh, you got to get in, you got to get in. And Kelly weren't having none of it. You know, to me, and I've seen social, she let her know what time it was.
Literally, don't mess with a former Destiny's Child.
No.
I'm DC.
Exactly, all day, every day.
Yeah, don't fuck with me.
I wonder, will she come out and like say something, give a statement and explain what happened? Hopefully.
Well, it's funny because like after the drama, like a couple of hours later, she just posted her pictures on Instagram of her looking. So it was like she said, anyways, and that was pretty much the end of it.
Because wasn't there something a few weeks or months back with Kelly to do with a, was it a chat show or a dressing room she walked out of?
I heard of that as well. That I don't know if, whether it was the host or someone behind the scenes said something she didn't agree with, and she was just like, that's it. So I don't know. I don't know if Kelly's just one of those people that's just like, I'm nice, but come on.
She packed up her Louis Vuitton and she was gone.
Literally. Like, if she's not having it, she's not having it.
Fuck this, I'm out. Get my Uber.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, well, Kel, we love you.
Yeah, definitely.
I'd love to get a little bit of more tea on it, though.
Yeah.
But it's definitely gone viral.
Yeah, it's definitely gone viral. People have shared their opinions, but mostly just people kind of championing and being like, yes, if I look like that in a dress, nobody interrupt me, let me have my moment, and I'll go when I'm ready.
I want my photos.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And in the world of TV, well, TV personalities, Rylan Clark actually reminisced on his X Factor days. And I saw it, I was thinking, Rylan was on X Factor, 2012, I think, because it's when James Arthur won. It was like 14 years ago. And I was
It's gone.
Like, I remember watching it.
Yeah,
and
I think it was the year after I started. Got to be,
I was just like, has it really been that long? And he was basically saying that competing on the show was honestly traumatic in some ways. And I was like, okay. So I read more about it, and he said his job on X Factor wasn't to be the singer. He was to be the joke act, essentially. And that was when X Factor was kind of known for having the serious singers and the joke acts. Mm. And he basically said that, like, he's not a thick person and he wants to be more than an idiot on the telly with shiny teeth. And looking at how well he's done now and how far his career has progressed, I kind of understand that. And it must be hard for people on, like, reality shows who want to do something else to prove to the public and even to themselves that I'm more than what I've been made out to be, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You touched on that before, didn't you, Bobby? That, like, you kind of felt pigeonholed.
Pigeonholed, because... and I felt like I become a caricature. When you do, like, 10, 11 years on a reality show, and no shade to the show in particular, but I just think it is... It's a reality show, but you're also you know what you're there for. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And I kind of think I've got to a point where I felt I was, as I say, a caricature and playing a character. And you're kind of really limited, because shows like mine or my old show, there's the fourth wall element, so you can't acknowledge things in certain words. So I can't turn around and go, well, we filmed this last week, or this is already on camera. You have to be seen that you're not filming a TV show, even though the world in his chihuahua knows it's a TV show, because they've been sat on their sofa watching you for 11 years. So you have to just pretend that how they know is like they're flies on the wall, which kind of makes it hard to kind of get across things that have happened behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And I completely get Rylan. I love Rylan. I've known him for absolute years. As I say, like, we kind of come up at the same kind of time. And I get what he's saying. So he was perceived to be a joke act. He's had the last laugh. He's got an amazing career. He's absolutely had the last laugh with that. And I think similar to Rye, and not just because we're both gay men from Essex, but I think we are kind of pigeonholed that they're the gay, and there's no denying me and Rylan are gay. Exclusive for you, front page news. But there's more to us than, because I know Rye, I've sat on flights with him, I've done jobs with him. When me and Roy have been just sat at an airport or doing a job off camera, you'd be surprised the men we are when we're not perceived on a TV show. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. But I feel like you probably as well feel like you have to live up to that character.
Yeah.
Because that's your character. And if you have been that for like 11 or 12 years, you can't all of a sudden just go, okay, no, I'm somebody like...
I can't turn butch
now.
All of a sudden. But behind the scenes, I'm a butch geezer.
Yeah. And he loves birds.
It reminded me of as well, because the amount of people, the journalists that I know that I've interviewed, someone like Joey Essex, for example, and I've asked them, like, oh, how was he? And they were like, I was so surprised that, like, we had an actual conversation, because on TV he's perceived as someone that's quite slow and this and that, and that's kind of what they're expecting. And the amount of people that have said that, no, he's actually very switched on.
Like, I actually interviewed Joey Essex before, and he was the nicest guy, and nothing like I had perceived him to be. Like, I thought like that, because he's always perceived to be this idiot, like...
I think we all get put in boxes. And all I will say on this, and obviously people will go, well, you're biased because that's your career and that's what's made you. And I acknowledge that that's where I'm from. But we have to kind of remember that people that have had a career and are still working. Reality shows are to a penny now. People can go on a show and it might last 4 weeks, 5 weeks, and they get a couple of months after, and then they're gone. And that's the nature of the beast. But don't come for people that have had 12, 13, 14 year careers, because this ain't an easy industry.
Oh, yeah.
And for people that are trying to emulate that, come back in 13 years and let's see, because there are so many. When I started out, Tammy was the first. We had Big Brother, but people lived in an house for 6 weeks back when it was in Bow, then it moved to Elstree, and then they moved on, obviously blew up at the time, but then it was another 12 people went in. Towie was the first where it was an ongoing reality show. So none of us went in with a preconceived idea. We didn't want to be famous. We didn't want to be influencers weren't a word.
Instagram, even social media.
We had Twitter.
Oh
yeah, of course.
Instagram wasn't a thing. No one was selling teeth whitening strips and gummy bears for their hair. Do you know what I mean? It was just literally a group of mates going to the sugar hut and slut dropping and having a ding dong.
I mean, that sounds bliss.
And it was, because it was innocent and it was organic. But TV has changed, especially reality TV. And again, people try, and God loves a tryer. Go for it. I don't judge anyone. You know, when people go on Love Island, they're like, secretly, you know, they're there for the fame. Do you know what? Get your coins.
Of course,
I'm here for it. But let's not knock the people, because people that have been around for a long time, if you've done over a decade in this game, you're doing something right.
Definitely. Can I just ask a question about, like, Towie? Because I've always wanted to know, because you said that, like, how you're perceived and you fall into this character. Was that, like, a personal thing? Was there, like, a producer elements say that, like, oh, okay, you're this kind of character, would you mind kind of doing this or saying this?
Do you know what? It definitely was. By the day I started to the day I left, it was a very different show. And in TV, teams change frequently. As we are, we're all self-employed. And shows, when Towie ended, like one series, back in the day, we never knew. We was never guaranteed a next series. It was just originally like a six-week gig. And then I thought, I'll go back to teaching hairdressing. As it evolved, that was when reality TV evolved. And if you look back at, and I've never really watched Towie back, because I get embarrassed to watch myself. And when I started seeing clips, which was when I decided to take all my fillers out, was in lockdown, because no one could film TV unless you was like filming news channels. So GMB could and that kind of stuff. But you weren't allowed, like, we was locking down to save the country. Towie weren't essential workers. So we was in lockdown. So ITV and every other platform and channel out there was scuttling around to do repeats of things. And I, as I say, I don't watch myself, but people in the house, like, they'd be turning through. And I watched myself in the space of about 3 days. I aged 10, 11 years.
Oh, my God.
I thought, God, the teeth's different, the nose is different. But not just that, I could see myself, and the face was different, the lips was different. And I'd never looked at myself in that kind of thing. But in answer to your question, it definitely become a different show. And I think it become an ongoing soap, because what Towie was when we begun, it wouldn't, that would have only lasted so long. It had to become like a soap. So it wasn't that it was heavily produced, although of course it's produced.
Of course,
it's a reality show, but it's, so what we used to call bump-ins would be like, so I'd get a text or a WhatsApp saying, Bobby, and sometimes I remember back in the day, I'd be waiting up till midnight waiting for a message, and they'd go, Bob, tomorrow you're at Loughton High Street, 11 o'clock, and that's it. So I would turn up, get mic'd up, and just be told to walk down Loughton High Street. Well, ITV2 don't just want a lovely shot of me walking down Loughton High Street going to see and co.
Somebody else.
Do you know what I mean? So you know you're going to see someone, but you're never bumping, you wouldn't know who it was. But in terms of producing a scene, because stuff obviously happens when cameras aren't rolling. We're not in Big Brother or Love Island where it's 24 hours. So it'd be, so say something happened off camera, you'd get told, right, you're doing a scene with, say, Gemma. This has happened. Talk about A, B and C, like, as examples, but you put it in your own words and just make sure in your conversation, just throw in A, B and C. So it's kind of, it's reality, but they also have to follow a story, to be fair to them, that obviously still, because we're normal people, our lives carry on when the cameras go down and they get in their transits and all go home. Our lives don't stop. But
I'd imagine though, like if there's an argument within the cast, do you wait until the cameras are rolling for that to be aired, or would you hash it out off camera and then?
It's a tricky one.
On
so sometimes rows would have, especially in the early days when it was more organic, things would happen and then we would just have to pick up how it was. So we'd go, oh, so you had a fight with, not physical, sometimes a couple did, but we won't go into that. But there was an argument, shall we say, between A and B. So we're just going to address it. So we'd be sat in the king wheel or the sugar up, wherever. And we would address it. And I think as time kind of went on, I think Towie blew up, especially in the UK, what reality was, as in ongoing.
Yeah.
And by the day I left, I definitely felt it was out of the, God knows, I think I did 26, 27 series. Mm. As I say, 10 years plus. It was the hardest one I did. And I think that's when I kind of started to think, oh, well, and I've gone through a lot in a decade, you know what I mean? We all go, like, life things, grew up and things happen, family get ill, like mum had cancer at one point and people die and you carry on filming and stuff. But it was so tricky for me, that last series. And I guess that's just the nature of the beast. But I was always one of them that, and there are people, not necessarily from my show, but reality shows in general. that only want to film good and positive things.
Yeah,
well, that's lovely. We'd all love to just film lovely things. Yeah. Like, do you know what I mean? Having blow dries and having manicures.
Wow,
and
I'm glad you said dries.
That, no! That would all be lovely.
And now they're all OnlyFans models.
But some people didn't want to address the tea and the elephant in the room. And my approach has always been, if I'm going to be a reality star, I'm going to show the reality to my life. Yeah. And as obviously we'd all love to show the best version of ourselves. But also, when shit happens, let's have it right. I don't think it's fair to the people that have invested 10, 11 years into you and your life to tell them bullshit lies. So if I'm as low as a worm's tit, and something's happened in a relationship, I'm going to be honest. I put the balls on the table and I say, look, this has happened.
Yeah.
Whether it's breakups, allegations, whatever, fallouts with friends.
Yeah.
I don't think we can all just eat candy floss and skip down the road holding hands down Brentwood.
But that's why the show went on for so long. Because if it was everyone just wants a good edit or whatever, a good show, then it would be boring as hell. Nobody
it's
would
true.
Watch that.
Yeah,
absolutely
definitely.
Not.
Yeah. No, but thanks so much for answering that.
No, I'm sorry,
this is like an interview
literally.
Session. Bobby was guest number one.
Yes. And so if there's more tea.
Yeah, so we've got 2 minutes. So what's
literally,
a quick one?
I would say the drama around Strictly at the moment.
Oh.
So everyone aware of Giovanni Panice.
Yes.
Now, it was claimed in The Sun that he's actually leaving. Like the last season he just did, that's his last one. He's not going to be on it this
year. Romeo Dunn.
But he hasn't really confirmed that that's the case. But there have been like allegations.
Oh, has he not actually come out and said he's leaving?
Yeah, he hasn't. Because the Instagram statement that he did basically said that like he was addressing like the allegations that he's like a bit of a militant to work with, a bit tough.
Yeah.
But he didn't address the fact that he was leaving. So it's like,
strange.
So do you think
he's leaving then?
Yeah, I think that was just like newspaper
the
claims.
Press.
Yeah, I think the press claims that he was leaving, but he hasn't actually said that. This is my last. That was my last season on Strictly.
He jumped or pushed? Is this BBC?
I don't know, because I don't think BBC had even said an official statement that he's leaving, but that's
no,
just
I mean behind the scenes. If he does leave, do you think it's their decision or his?
I don't know, because not to compare, but you know, like the whole Philip Schofield situation where it's just like you could tell that even though he said that he was his decision, ITV were kind of like, would you mind just kind of
I would imagine producers would be like, if there's one more claim this year, like you're screwed kind of a thing. So maybe it was a nudge, wink, wink.
Exactly, because Strictly is such like a family-friendly show and to have all these allegations that apparently is just very tough to work with. And I was at the Princess Trust Awards yesterday and I spoke to Ellie Simmons about like her experience in training, and she said that she had a beautiful experience. Of course everybody's different, but Stacey Dooley as well, 2018 winner, I think she was on This Morning, and I think she was kind of like asked about the claims and she said that she couldn't comment because she doesn't know Giovanni like that, but to believe women when they say this is my story, this is what I went through, and to believe women instead of coming up with like X, Y, Z. So will he be back this year? Will he not? Who knows? But apparently Giovanni is a bit of a bit of a tough cadet in the training room, apparently.
Yeah. I guess it's so kind of public knowledge, and I'm surprised. I thought he had announced it. So I guess with everything that the way this is, should he still turn up this winter, is it going to open up a whole can of worms press-wise? Yeah. Because it's going to be a magnifying glass on him and whoever he's paired with.
Yeah.
So all this that's come out now, if he's decided he's staying... Gosh, his next party—it's gonna be—it's gonna be the Giovanni show.
Exactly.
That's it. But I'd imagine one of the papers had a source; otherwise, they wouldn't all be printing it.
That's true. Yeah. Mm. So who knows? Probably waiting for that official statement.
You girls, you're the journos in the room. We can't confirm or deny, but guys, they're journos. They know what time it is. Estelle, thank you so much, babes.
Absolutely
love it. No game this week.
Was that sorry?
No game this week.
Not from what I can see.
Too much chatting about town.
Yes, exactly.
Well, thank you so much, babe. Absolutely.
Always a pleasure.
Right, guys, more where that come from. So we're going to take a little break and then we are going to be back and we're going to have a little interview with the lovely Dr. Tara from Celebs Go Dating. So we will see you in two.
Access All Areas continues next. FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio presents...
What the Health with Gabby Allen. Joining me now is Millie Gooch, author and founder of Sober Girl Sobriety Society. I need to know what is so bad about dating sober.
I think it's just terrifying when it's something that you're not used to, because when I was drinking and dating, you know, like, you use it to calm your nerves, you use it for confidence, you rely on it. And I think that's the one thing I realised when I stopped drinking, is how much I really relied on alcohol. I was always kind of saying, you know, like, oh, I'm not dependent on it, but for my confidence I was really. But I also think there's so many benefits to it. Like, I used to go on so many dates when I was drinking, I'd be like, they are the one, and then I'd meet them like a few weeks later sober and I'd be like, we've got nothing in common, what was going through my mind? I'd be like, oh, it was because I was drunk.
Access All Areas with Bobby Norris.
Harpreet, how are you, my love?
I'm great, thank you. How are you? It looks fun in there.
I want to talk about this because obviously you met your partner on The Apprentice. When did you start to get that feeling, I'm into him and this is more than just a banter or a friendship? Because it's a close environment being on a show like that, isn't it?
I really wish I could sit here and give loads of juicy gossip. Actually, we used to secretly meet in the laundry room on the show, but we didn't. And when I actually last spoke with yourselves, I think it was right after I'd won, we weren't even flirting, never mind dating. First time that I thought I actually fancied him was when I watched him on TV and I watched episode one. Hang on. You know, he's actually really good looking.
Politics Uncensored with Ali Milani.
And joining me in the studio, we have Deputy Leader of the Green Party, Zach Polanski. Zach, thank you so much for joining us. How are you keeping, Zach?
I'm great. Thanks for having me. How are you?
So you're hoping for four MPs in the general. You think that's going to happen?
Yeah, that's absolutely the minimum at what we're
I don't want to be Piers Morgan here, but will you take I don't have £1,000, will you take a £100 bet with me that you'll get four MPs?
Well, I do everything in politics to talk about the harms of gambling, so for me to place a bet on there would be pretty, you know, pretty horrendous.
Before we had you on, we discussed with the producers as to whether I should do the bet joke. And I said I would, because I had every faith that you would answer it in the way I expect a politician of any moral
standing. We should also talk about cryptocurrency, which also is very problematic.
Rishi, if you're listening, mate, that's how you answer a betting question.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio. Welcome back, guys. It's Access All Areas, and yes, we are live on FUBAR Radio. And me and Ellen have just been joined in the studio by the lovely Dr. Tara from Celebs Go Dating. Dr. Tara!
Hello, hello.
Are we having an orgasmic day?
Oh my God, I am now. You've walked in.
Oh my God, I know. I can see where this chat is going.
I'm on the turn, Dr. Tara.
Already. That didn't take long.
I've been there since the 90s. I ain't dabbled, Dr. Tara, but you're a lovely looking girl. Thank you for coming in to Access All Areas here at FUBAR Radio. Now, obviously, we've got to talk CGD, Celebs Go Dating. I'm not sure if you know, I did it back in the day. I think series three, I was the first gay person, because one and two, it was a straight dating show. And then by series three, there was like, should we let the gays in?
Yeah.
So, should we let the gays in? So you were first.
I was first.
You took the virginity.
I took the gay virginity at CGD. But it was a very different show back then. It was different dating agents. Mm-hmm. And I'll be honest, I've not really caught up religiously mm-hmm. recently, but I know that there's Anna and Paul. Love them both. Yeah. Know them both quite well. And I've dipped in and out. And you joined the show last year.
Right.
So can you tell our listeners that might not have been up to date and binged it, what's your role? So we've got the two dating agents. We've got Anna and Paul.
Right.
What's your situation?
My situation. My situation is this.
Exactly. And she's looking good,
I'm bringing,
guys.
You know, the heat. But
she's bringing the body.
The body. The brain, the body. My role on the show is a sexpert.
Oh.
So the show wanted to, you know, keep up with like the sex positivity movement, which is really going on around the world, right? Mm-hmm. Like I am a sex educator from Los Angeles, but it is going on around the world. We see people are more comfortable talking about sex everywhere. There's that show, Naked Attraction.
Yeah.
Right.
Wild.
There's more sex positivity, nudity.
Do you think OnlyFans has changed the game as well?
A part of it as well, yeah. So I think they wanted to update the show and throw in, you know, a sex expert. Yeah, wow. So I'm there as a sexpert.
So are you going to be advising the couples all about sex?
Well, I advise the celebrities on if they're sexually repressed, then right. I try to help them and guide them through sex positivity.
And when we say sexually repressed, just for people who might know, I mean, I obviously
know. For a friend.
For a friend.
I don't think anyone here is sexually repressed.
What does sexually repressed mean for people that might not know?
Right. It's people who are sexually anxious. They feel guilty or ashamed to talk about sex, something very natural.
Mm. Well, actually, I'm from Ireland and there's a lot of that going on.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot mention sex because, you know, Catholic Church and all.
Ellen's still a virgin. She's getting married in September, but she's not tried before she buys.
No.
You have not tried before you buy.
No, what do you think? What do you tell a virgin bride?
Yeah. So the first night is going to be on the wedding day.
First time she sees the Corey. What'd you say, Dr. Tara?
Well, I mean, you got to test sexual compatibility in advance, I would say. At least, have you seen it?
I mean, no. And we're together 10 years.
You've not seen it. Oh my God, you guys
seen
tricking
it. She's done a lot of it.
This is a trick. No, she's like, girl, I host sex parties.
She's got a sex room. Have you seen the dungeons at TV show?
Yeah, she's in my swing.
So Dr. Tara, back to CJD. I just shortened down Celebs Go Dating because when I did it, it was long to keep WhatsApp in Celebs Go Dating. So we just put CJD.
All right.
So your role now, do you call in? Because when I did it, I'd get called in by Nadia and Eden and we'd get told about, oh, you're going on a blind date or what's your kind of story? Actually, in terms of what's your story, I think one of the most emotional shows I've ever done, because, okay, you're from LA. You don't know me from a bar of soap, I'm guessing. But I was on a reality show here in the UK. That's the one.
She's done her research.
Girls Google me on the way. Yeah. So I was on that for like 10, 11 years. And even though my life was an open book on that show, I think there's something to be said for shows like Celebs Go Dating. You've got to take your hat off to these celebs because I think talking dating and being... It's so real. Reality TV is real.
Yeah, like we were just talking about.
But reality TV is, dating show-wise, you've got to open yourself.
You've got to open your legs.
You literally have to be very vulnerable. Yeah. And you have to go, this is my story, my background. This has happened to me.
Yeah.
And you can run around doing reality TV, but dating-wise, I think, and also not even just if you've got a story or not, I think... Mm-hmm. Showing yourself going on dates, it's one of my hard. Like, I'm one of the most confident people in the world. I can sit on live TV in front of 3 million people, no worries. I sit here, I host my show, no problem at all. Like, no steam off my piss, Dr. Tara. But if you said go over to a geezer in a bar and say, can I buy you a gin and tonic? Mm. I can't do that. Put me on TV, live TV in front of millions.
Yeah.
No fear.
It is a really vulnerable position to be in.
Is it a rejection thing? I don't know.
It probably is. And also because they're celebrities, everyone's watching them like a hawk. Yeah. So they're not the average
and
show.
And scrutinizing.
Yes. Right. How are you finding the celebrities dealing with that? Are they more open or do they have to kind of warm up after some time?
It's so emotional.
It's so emotional. I've seen lots of people cry in the chairs at the agency.
Wow. It was like therapy, that show.
Yeah. I think it's very therapeutic. So as, you know, as a sexpert, but also like relationship expert, I'm usually thrown in with Anna or Paul. Mm-hmm. So we'll take turns kind of helping the celebrities and guiding them through. And before we send them on a date, we give them tasks, right?
Okay.
So let's say, here's your challenge. You seem to have this mask on every time you show up on a date. It's mm-hmm. It looks like, you know, all the world is a stage and we don't really know who you are. So this time around, when you show up, you're going to do A, B, C. Mm-hmm. So we do that. We guide them. But it is highly emotional because we also investigate the past.
Yes.
And we ask about exes. And why did the relationships end?
Why did it go tits up?
Right. Yeah. What happened from your side of the story? Yeah. Right? Because people only know from tabloids.
Yes.
So like we ask you those questions, but we also ask about really deep things like trauma. We ask about parents. Mm. Like, how are your parents?
Yeah.
Are they divorced? Are they together? How did you grow up? And sometimes people start talking and, you know, they come in, right? They're celebrities. So they know how to be in front of the camera and, you know, act things out, but they didn't realize. I think it catches them off guard. Yeah. It's like, oh no, like now I'm talking about my exes, my mom, my, you know.
Because it's like therapy. So even though it's a celebrity show, so they've all got experience with filming TV shows, being in the media, being written about. But this is like, and I think that's why it's one of the hardest things I've done in terms of being vulnerable.
Yeah.
And I think that's the word. You have to be. To do a show like that, if you're going to take it serious, some people are there for the paycheck, let's be real.
Right.
But I don't think that washes anymore. The viewers aren't stupid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're just there for the money, you want the cash on a Friday afternoon, people are, they're not going to invest in it.
Right.
So to be vulnerable, I think that takes a very special kind of person, because you're going, this is waltz and all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to spill 100%. Your beans all over the dating agency table.
I know.
Spill everything. Squirt everywhere.
So are you speaking to the celebs about their sex life? Do you ask, like, how they shag, what their thing is?
Well, a lot of it is sexual communication.
Okay.
So how people bring up sex during the date, during the conversations. Are they ashamed of bringing up, you know, their interest? Are they hiding, or are they very liberal but in a way that's inappropriate at times? Mm. So I'm there kind of helping them become a better sexual communicator. So last series, right, we had Chloe and Lottie, and they were lovely, loved them, lovely girls, very authentic. They were sharing, like spilling their guts, right, like in the chairs, and they were just so great. We love working with them. At the same time, you know, like first episode, we had we had Lottie talking about, you know, going to the bathroom and, you know, getting it on with people, and these are the guys she just met at the mixer. Right,
so I want, like, sucking them off.
Oh my god,
not necessarily that particular act,
or maybe just
but
tossing
just like
them off.
Maybe, well, yeah, well, she's like, well, I don't know, like, I would be down to, you know,
to
hook
blow
up with
him
someone.
Or wank him,
yeah, whatever that was shown on the TV. On TV, yeah. And then, like, Chloe was talking about pegging, and, like, you know,
oh,
so
wow,
it was
oh, wow.
funny. It's great
her
TV,
yeah, of course.
For me, as a person that talks about sex every single day and from Los Angeles, to me, like, do you like pegging? Is like an afternoon tea.
Yeah. I thought you was asking. Hey, I was gonna go.
Your
girl.
Answer is yes.
It's my
life. Do you think, especially being from LA, because I mean, I've only ever been there once. It's one of my favourite places, though. I've learned to be a cowboy. That's another story. But I was in Texas, Austin, and I had to get a connecting flight from LA to then come back to Heathrow. Mm-hmm. Anyway, long story short, it was going to be a 12-hour wait, and I'd got to the final of being a cowboy. And I said to the producer and one of the other celebs that was in the final, I went, shall we stay for a couple of days? So I thought, fuck it, never been before. If I'm doing it, I'm doing it properly. Checked into the Beverly Hills.
As you do.
And I absolutely love it there, but do you think, especially someone coming from LA to the UK, is there a huge difference between Americans, especially LA?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a word for LA people?
Angelinos.
Angelinos.
Yeah.
I love that.
The angels.
Oh my God.
Angels. Is there a difference between Angelinos and the UK when you're here? Because are we quite prudish?
Yes.
Yeah.
The short answer is yes. I would say there's a lot more like sexual repression here. I think due to the, you know, the culture being very old, very proper. There's a certain way British people do things, right? Yes. And a certain way other people judge other people that don't do the same things as them. So, you know, if you're different, if you're talking out loud, if you're flamboyant, then, you know, you're not being modest and proper British.
Yeah, and as a gay man, I think we're all slags. We're all ravers and slags. Glorios. That's what people think.
I really think gays did the groundwork here.
Oh my God, we opened the door.
Yeah, for sex positivity for everyone.
Yeah.
You can even tell from watching the Kardashians how much they talk about sex, like even with their parents and stuff. And I'm like, I would never.
Yeah, no. I mean, it's Angelinos though, right? Because like Texas, that's a different country.
Oh my God, I thought I was going to get shot by real life cowboys.
Yeehaw, bang, bang.
Yeah, because I don't think they've ever seen a gay person in their life, especially to teach him to be a cowboy for two weeks.
I mean, they have, just no openly gay
just
people.
Just no open. And I walk up.
Oh, yeah. They're in the closet.
I get out the car with a Louis Vuitton on my arm and a pair of red bottoms, and they're like, what's this? We've read about this kind of man.
We got it.
These teeth. Yeah, do these remind you of home, these teeth? Are they very LA?
Yes, they're very LA.
So fast forward from last year to this year. Obviously, as you know, it's been announced who the celebs are this series.
I'm so excited.
You've started filming already.
Right.
Mm-hmm. How's it going this series? Have you got any standout favourite celebrities?
Oh, it's incredible. I am so excited about this lineup. And, you know, we haven't gone deep yet. For me
but
to be like,
will.
This person, we will. Yeah. Or we'll go real, real deep as they'd allow me.
Oh, we love it deep.
But, you know, so we started filming, and I would say they're all really lovely people. There are some really, like, big characters, right? Yep. Big personality. We have Ella, fresh off Mavs. If you guys
love
have seen
her.
The recent.
She's brilliant.
Yeah, big personality. Yeah. You know, we have Helen, who's, to me, such a sweetheart. Mm-hmm. You know, small blonde woman, like
gorgeous.
Just beautiful sweetheart. Chris is so fun.
Yeah,
Chris is like, you know, he's the character.
Yeah,
and even just filming, I was like, wow, you look like your skits, like the skits that he does on.
He's a good looking boy as well,
he
isn't he?
Awesome. And very tall. And the other very tall guy, Tristan, they're both statues.
Yes,
you know,
big
guys. And then Stephen, so sweet.
Do you think, like, in terms of Helen that you just touched upon, when you're doing a show like this, and that's your second series or season, if we're going, what are we called? Angelinos.
Angelinos.
Second season, let's go Kardashian. Do you think, is it a very different situation? If I was doing this series just as a gay man, no wife, no husband, no kids, if I was sat on a sofa and you was talking to me, is there something different with a divorcee with children? Is it a different kind of kettle of fish for you? Like, how's she opening up? Because it must be different to talk about things like that when you've got kids.
Oh, 100%. And we are careful, right? Like, both of the other hosts, Anna and Paul, they both have kids. I think they know how to tread around that water.
So you read the room.
We read the room. Yeah, we don't probe about the children.
You ain't asking her about sucking people off in the toilets.
And she's like, the kids aren't watching this episode.
I'm definitely asking Chris that.
Yeah. What do you reckon? He sucks someone off in the toilets.
No, like his...
He's been sucked off in the toilets.
Sexapates. Yes. The sexapates of Chris and Tristan. I'm definitely asking about that. But, you know, we also have Jamelia, right?
Yes.
People always talk about... Ew, right? We have a fire lineup, honestly. Yeah.
So good. So you match the celebrities with normal people?
Right.
Right. So do you have an idea who you're going to match anybody with yet, or what type of personalities are going to suit well?
We can't talk about any of that yet.
Boring.
But as you can tell, like, the celebrities are big personalities. Mm. So something that goes along with the big personalities, right? Because we all know a big personality, another big personality tend to clash.
It doesn't work.
No, it just doesn't.
It doesn't work.
Mm. Yeah.
So I want to ask you, going back to not necessarily Chris, but just because you brought him up.
Poor Chris.
Are you into him?
He's a very good looking boy. He's a very. I know Chris. He's a good looking boy. I'm sure he knows. I think he's good looking.
Oh.
He must. No, I'm not lying. I'm not pining for you, Chris, but you're a salt. But we're on different teams, you know what I mean? But in your job, like when you're not doing celebs go dating, you're a sexpert in just real life.
Right.
Is there something, because I guess in celebrity world, it's such a strange world for the average person to understand. So when you're talking sex with a celebrity, as you say, you've had people that have gone to toilets, wanked someone off, sucked them off, and I'm sure the boys have done a hell of a lot worse in toilets. You can't probably say that to Brenda from Barclays. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you was just an average person or a general person that worked in a bank, in terms of what am I trying to say here? So, you know, like, sex, it's because of people's profiles, do you think that changes the amount of sex they're having, the way they're having sex, compared to if you was working with Sally from Savers, which right. is like a cheap cosmetic shop here in the UK?
I don't think it should be different.
No.
No.
So right. you wouldn't approach it differently, do you think, even though, because these boys are getting laid, right. let's be honest. Yeah. They've got pussy on tap. Let's be real. Tap.
I mean, you know better. You've been on Towie
got pussy
forever.
On tap.
Were all the Towie people getting pussy on tap?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not me, because I ain't done it, as I say, since the 90s. But yeah, right. the boys were being offered quite, yeah.
I suppose the different dynamic as well is the everyday person, the banker, is, I said banker,
yeah,
are going to know the celebrity's past relationships.
Yes. Right.
So say Chris again, for example, right. he's been on Love Island.
Yes.
So we've seen him actually with like girls and we know who they are and everything. So does that change the dating dynamic in terms
yeah.
of, so do you kind of say to the celebrities, try to get to know them more because they know a lot about you already?
100%.
Yeah.
And we also try to tell the non-celebrity people that are coming in to date, the celebs, that like hold your judgment, hold your preconceived notions. We know you have them. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you really don't know who these people are. People watch you on Towie. They
yeah.
really don't know who you
no.
truly are. Mm-hmm. You know,
they see an edited version.
Exactly.
Of
the
a
same
character.
Thing as the last series, right? We had like Chloe, who people are saying, oh, she's so loud, obnoxious. I don't think so. She's a very sweet girl. Mm-hmm. Same as Lottie, right? She has OnlyFans.
Yeah.
Very sweet and soft and genuine. It's just so different from what you see on social media and TV.
Yeah.
So at the same time, with the celebrities, we have to tell them, listen, you know, you guys are celebrities. Like when people see you, they're going to have a certain reaction, right? And that's normal. So how you react to it is you react to it with the utmost authenticity. Mm. So they can see that you're a human. And you're not just this character who's unrelatable. And ultimately, when you're unrelatable, you're unlovable.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
true. So Dr.
True.
Tara, thank you so much.
Thank
Babes,
you.
It's been a pleasure to have you in the studio. Looking forward to seeing more on this series.
Thank
I'm excited.
You.
Keep
thank
in
you.
Touch, because I might have to meet. We might have to link up. I might need a little bit of advice.
Oh,
sure.
See,
come on.
Dropping those DMs.
Yeah.
Drop it in. Dr. Tara, love you. Thank you, sweetheart. Guys, we're going to go to a little break, and then we are going to be joined for a lovely little interview with Carl from The Circle. We will see you in two.
Grab your backstage passes and prepare to access all areas.
Hey! FUBAR Radio presents
Access All Areas.
Mark from Married at First Sight UK.
See, at the wedding, you told Sean you were 26, but you're actually 36.
Oh, yeah.
So drop in that decade. We ain't gone 1 or 2 years either side. What was going through your head when you thought, I'm going to shave off 10 years in 26?
A third of your life.
Yeah.
It was instant reaction. As soon as anyone says to me, how old are you? I'm like 26. I just stopped counting after 26. Would I have told him? Probably not.
No. Ever?
Well, maybe when we're 80 years old and we've got the grandkids running around. And
except
like,
you wouldn't be 80 years old. You'd be 88.
I'd be 26 still. I'd be going around the corner for some more injections.
Joining me now, the former leader of the Labour Party, Jeremy Corbyn, MP. And there you are stood with hundreds of thousands of people at Glastonbury singing "Oh Jeremy Corbyn." What is that like?
It was quite extraordinary. It was an amazing experience, and I was very pleased we did it. We wrote, the office got very excited about Glastonbury. Every single person in the office thought it was necessary for them to be at Glastonbury with me.
Yeah, I'm sure they did. Yeah.
Every single one said yeah. it's really necessary yeah. for me to yeah. come.
The Dating Show.
I'm friends with a fair few exes, and I think you can be friends with an ex, but I genuinely do.
But I do think that his timing is everything with that.
I think it depends what you cast as a friend. Yeah, Are you talking about you know, someone you're going to hang out with on your sofa? Like, if you've already shagged, you know, isn't that a bit weird?
I think that's a different level of friend. I think that's a different level. You can be friends with someone. You can't be, like, best fucking friends with someone. I mean, I've got exes that I talk to about their current partners and whatever else, and they'll tell me about that sort of stuff. But I wouldn't say, oh, do you want to come over for fucking Chinese and chill on the sofa?
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
As you just heard, you're live on FUBAR Radio. And yes, this is Bobby Nice on Access All Radio. And we have got the lovely Kyle from The Circle joining us. Kyle, how are you, mate?
Hi.
I'm good. And yourself?
Really good, thank you. Thank you for coming on Access All Areas.
Yes, Kyle. Kyle, you were picked at the post. You came second.
So close.
Oh, no. What happened?
I mean, it still hurts. You guys about to open some wounds for me right now.
Are you glad that Brandon won?
My hashtag Circle Bay. So yeah. It hurts.
Are you glad that Brandon won? Was he a good winner?
Honestly, I said it before. If like it wasn't me, I'm glad that it was him. You know, because like we did like share a bond that was deep of like losing our parents. Mm. So, like, I really felt like that right there, I really, like, wanted him to win if I didn't win.
Oh, I love
but you
that.
Would have rather it been you, obviously. You, know you would have rather it have been you.
Obviously.
Yeah.
What would you have done with the money if it was you?
If it was me, I would have already been starting my family life how, like, I wanted to. Mm. You know what I mean? I would have... probably been having like a little me running around by now.
Oh, I love that.
Because the thing is, I play ball like overseas, you know? Mm. So like this was my chance to not have to be overseas and play at, and be at home. You know what I mean? And still like be able to take care of my money. I mean, not take care of my money, but like take care of my family.
Totally.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so like, that's what I wanted to start doing with the money is be home and be able to now start my family and not have to be away.
Right.
So, Kyle, what was the situation when you applied for the show? Obviously, you've got a missus, a wife. Did you say to her, I'm going to pretend to be single? Did you tell her in advance?
You know what's funny about this? I didn't apply. She did.
Oh, wow. Love it.
Did she say you were single in the application?
No, she didn't. Look, I'm about to tell you exactly how it went.
Spill the tea, Kyle. Spill the tea.
I'm about to spill it. Look, this is exactly what happened. It was, first of all, she was telling me and her friend that I'd be perfect for the show. And the thing is, I was never really, like, I like watching reality TV, but I didn't think I was going to be in it. You know what I'm saying?
We never do.
I've got the perfect personality. People would love you. And I'm like, cool, yeah, but I like hooping. You know what I mean? So the thing is, I was getting ready to train for, like, a contract to go to Argentina, right? So I was training for that in basketball, but then I didn't know that she ended up signing me up, period, without me even knowing in the first place, right? So then all of a sudden I get a phone call, like I want to say 2 months later, I guess, I get a phone call and they go, Kyle, we love you. You are our guy. And I'm like, first of all, who is this LA number calling me right now? Right? Wow. Like, your guy for what? Scam? And that's what I thought it was at first. And then they go, Kyle, you'd be perfect for The Circle. I said, what? I look at Jay, and you know, she goes, oh my God, they call you back. Let's do it. Let's do it. Right? So that's how it actually happened.
So did you come up with your game plan with your wife then that you were going to go in as single and you were you allowed to flirt with people on The Circle to kind of maneuver your way in?
The thing is, we did have to talk. Like, we had to talk. Like a lot about it because it was like, all right, Kyle, I do not want you to be looked at as this guy that, you know, is a player, but you're married. Like, no, I don't like that. So like we had that big talk, but then we also looked and said most of the winners or majority of the winners were not married. Like they were single.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Which like allowed them to be able to open these doors that, you know, would not have been allowed to if they were married or engaged or something
true.
Like that.
Yeah.
So we were like, okay, just in case I do need to pull that card out, like I need that to be open in order to win. And so, I said, you know, I'll do everything as I can to be respectful as possible. But if my hands got to get dirty for me to bring this money home, they going to get dirty.
And your hands nearly did get very dirty. So you took the wedding ring off.
Oh.
And how did you feel, obviously, finding out that someone that you had been...
Having
communications with...
Olivia.
turned out to be a geezer. Because, obviously, you've got a wife. Have you ever dabbled with men before?
Never.
I have once. I've also got a wife. Don't tell her.
Me, because it was my number one, right?
Yeah.
I knew immediately after that I needed another number one. So my other number one, who I had a good connection with, was Olivia, because I always knew that QT and Miles had each other. Mm. Even though, you know, we were still part of an alliance, I knew that they were choosing each other first. Mm. And in order for me to get out on top, I need somebody else who's going to choose me first.
Mm.
So you know what? My targets was completely at Olivia. And I was like, okay, I know that like Olivia already has a lot of friends. I need to be more than a friend.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, I need to be that for her. Because I know sometimes the feelings can overpower the brain. So like if you're like really feeling someone, then that means, you know, instead of using strategies like, man, I really like him, I just want him to stay, so I'm going to keep putting him first.
Yeah.
Mm.
Right? I was like, okay.
Did your wife?
This is my chance now.
Did your wife watch it
back? So the moment
I
had that opportunity, it was time for the hands to get dirty. Right?
Yeah.
Did your wife watch it back with you? And if ye did watch it back together, what was her thoughts on watching you flirt with another girl? Because I think I would die inside watching my partner flirt. I'd be like, absolutely not. Even if he was a catfish.
See, the moment it ended, she didn't care, okay, what place I got in. Because the very first thing she asked me when I called her, right, was this. She said, who'd you flirt with? It wasn't did you win?
Yeah.
And, you know, it was, who'd you flirt with? Okay, so now what happened?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then I told her that I got in second and all that stuff. And then, like, she went immediately trying to look for the person on the online.
Of course she did. So, like you say, you was willing to get their man's dirty. Did you? Because you know what time it is. You know this show by now. You was already catfishing yourself. So you obviously know if I'm doing it, other people are. At any point, did you... You've got to shit or get off the pot. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's how it is. We ain't here to fucking play games. But in terms of when it comes to Olivia, at any point, did you always think she was a girl? Or did you think at any point this might be a geezer sat there tugging one out in his room?
You know what's funny? I thought that, like, the moment that I sent a picture, right, to her, because I was the first one to send the picture, because, first of all, I was just talking to her to try to get her to be my number one.
Yeah.
That's kind of how it started at first. I was just being flirty.
Yeah.
I wasn't being like, you know, I'm trying to have this be my circle bet. At first, I was just flirting. The moment that we kind of like solidified that, and then all of a sudden she said, I'm in the hot tub, I was like, okay, hold on. The little nice Liv I know is getting naughty, right?
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, it's time to get naughty. But when I sent the picture, I swear, I thought in my mind, I said, this would be hilarious if I'm actually talking to a dude, right? And I said that to myself, right? But I was like, it would kind of be better if it is a dude, because then my girl wouldn't be so mad.
Then she ain't going to be pissed off.
Exactly.
Yeah, right? So I thought about that, but I was like, there's no way. There's no way that Olivia is a dude. Like, there's no way. Because, like, she's too feminine, too, like...
Yeah. So you didn't believe...
so well.
Yeah.
I'm like, there's no way.
I spoke to Brandon.
No signs.
I spoke to Brandon last week. I was asking him if he found it hard to be Olivia, and he was like, "Absolutely not. I loved it."
I bet he fucking loved it. I would love it if you sat there sending. And for anyone that's listening to the show that hasn't seen it, can we talk? What pics did you send him? Was it dick pics?
Oh my god.
It was hardly
dick pics.
Was it
dick
pics? It
goes on camera. Yeah, but he's not the kind of guy. I'm guessing he's doing all right downstairs. I think you don't seem bothered if someone saw your piece, do you? He's got a Corey on him, you can tell.
Yeah,
you know what's funny about that? When I did send my picture, I said something because it was like, okay, it was a picture. It was like a fitness picture of me showing my abs. And then, you know, I had like some spot, like I had some short shorts on, right?
Oh,
and
yeah.
I said, oh, bulge. It's giving bulging.
You know, yes.
Short tight. Right. So, oh, it's giving bulging right now.
I love that.
So it's hilarious, though, because then the fact that she sent the picture back is when I had to like hold my wife's picture. I'm like, okay, this is getting too far. Like, this is getting way too far. I can't look at this.
And how often do you guys get to chat? Like, is there a limited time for when the cameras are on you that you can chat? Do they open the chat for just, you know, an hour or two a day? Or can you actually chat all day and it's edited down?
Well, first of all, you definitely cannot chat all day. That's mm-hmm. one. Mm-hmm. And then after that, the thing is, you kind of have to submit who you want to talk to at the beginning of the day. And then after that, say why, like, you want to talk to this person. Uh-huh. So the thing is, I can't just go and talk to, let's say, Cassie without giving a reason why I want to talk to Cassie.
Okay.
You know? And then, like, after that, the, like, producers will see if that's a good enough reason to have that conversation.
Wow. Yeah.
And so when me saying to them, yo, I need to talk to Olivia because I lost Paul and I'm about to get dirty. I need her on my side.
Yeah. They okay.
all like, that was yes. fucking like a rap, a drain part. That was like, because I guess in the producer's heads, they want to know if it's worth filming because they don't want to, obviously you always overfilm a TV show, but you don't want to overfilm for the sake of fucking overfilming if it's not going to go anywhere. So in a producer's head, they want to think, right, if he wants to try it with her, even though they knew it was a him, that's going to make the show.
Yeah.
But if you turn around and said, I just want to ask someone what they're playing or what they're reading, they're going to be like, well, we ain't fucking putting that on telly. Boring. So it's
exactly
always...
my point.
Mm. Yeah, I get it. So, I know the code.
The thing is, I never talked to Cassie, actually, at all, until I met her in the finale. Like, I've never spoken to Cassie, not one bit, but Cassie said that she actually did want to talk to me.
Oh,
you know?
So
but
she was trying.
That, like, I guess, like, Cassie never gave a good reason to want to talk to me.
But I guess producers, that was never going to be the storyline, because if I was a producer, and for someone that's spent a decade on reality TV myself, I know the producer head that I've inherited.
Mm.
If I knew your story arc, which a producer would sit there in a room and go, right, is chatting to this geezer that's a girl. And when I say that, I'm not sexist at all. I'm a guy, man. It's just that my family, do you know what I mean? That's just how I speak. So we've got a straight man with a wife talking to a girl that's actually a geezer. That's the story arc. If some other girl goes, I want to tell him that I like him, or is he into, I don't know, Ed Sheeran, it ain't going to make the cut. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So she was never going to get that chat because they obviously already knew by that point what the show was and your storyline.
Your storyline, exactly.
So, like, it wouldn't have made sense for me to start becoming close with Cassie out of nowhere.
Nah.
Yeah, so you know? True. So do you get, like, limited time to chat then? Do the producers say you have 5 minutes?
It's not like it's 5 minutes, but once you have to say what you kind of have to say, they kind of like let you know, okay, it's time to wrap it up, or like say like what you told us you wanted to say.
Okay,
you know what I mean already. Like, so get that out the way. So like start first with your little fake chat of, hey, I missed you, when you know you probably really didn't, and then after that get to the juicy part.
Yeah,
you know. Then after that they kind of say, okay, Kyle, you got like we've got 2 more messages. Make it count.
Yeah.
Kyle, talking of the juicy part, obviously the whole room's cammed up, cameras everywhere. How do you, as a man, get through the experience without a little bit of me time, shall we say?
Honestly, though, I've said this before, that's one of the hardest to do.
Literally, like, no pun intended.
And the thing is, they film you while you're sleeping.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Get up. I got a dog with me every step of the way, you know, that I got to take care of as well.
Yeah.
So it's like, honestly, you have to have a lot of mental power.
Wow.
You know, because you know, there's a lot of testosterone. There's a lot of.
And are you waking up like with a tent under the sheet? You're waking up ready to go.
I've had to tell them, I want to say like 4 times, give me about 10 minutes, please.
Right? And do they let you have, what do they call it, wank time? Are you allowed to have a quick wank?
I was not allowed to have a wank.
What do they call it? Wank
time. I could not wait the entire time.
Did you not? You so you didn't nut once.
Not once.
What?
Oh, so like, so like, if you understand the pressure that I had by the time I got home.
Oh, but your poor wife, fuck it. Oh, lucky wife, mate.
Yeah, you're lucky.
Lucky wife. I bet you blew her to the ceiling. You sent her all the way to New York.
It was like I just got out of jail.
I've got Carl, it's been an absolute pleasure. Love to you. Love to your lovely wife.
Thank you, Carl.
I'm glad you're getting some again now, because I'm worried about them balls of yours, so it ain't healthy. Carl, well, take care. Take care, mate. Thank you.
Bye, Kyle.
Bye.
Goodbye, Carl.
He's so
I love Carl.
Oh, very
Ellen,
honest.
Amazing show. Lovely to be back. Guys, thank you for tuning in. And yes, back next week for more tea, more gossip. And join us 6 p.m. next week, Foodbar Radio, Access All Areas. See you then.
Bye.